Yukiko and the Little Black Cat. There lived once, in a village, a proud and wicked woman. She was rich enough to afford anything she wanted, and yet her heart was filled with envy of anyone who was rich, contented, good-looking, or young. If she saw someone in a happy mood, or heard of a true friendship, this was enough to arouse her bitterness and anger. Indeed, she was annoyed each time a poor person dared to smile. "How irresponsible these beggars are," she would fume. "They are too lazy even to worry. Yet here am I, higher born by far, with more problems than I can handle. Is there any justice?" She would go on grumbling until she found a way of spoiling the cheerful person's day. Among the wicked woman's many servants was a young girl called Yukiko, an orphan who had grown up in the rich household. Although she had hardly known anything but beatings and scoldings, she had managed to keep a pure, kind heart and a sweet temper. Her special darling was a little black cat, who returned the girl's love in equal measure. She slept on Yukiko's bed, and when the girl came into the kitchen, the little black cat would gently rub against her legs and purr. Yukiko would pick the cat up and stroke her smooth fur, forgetting her troubles, in the thought that she had one good friend in the world. Of course, the mistress of the house begrudged Yukiko the cat's affection. Woe to the girl when the woman caught her fondling the animal. She would immediately think up some urgent work. "If you have time to play with a cat, you will surely have time to do something for your mistress," was the call which usually came when Yukiko was already up to her eyes in work. And the little black cat did not fare much better. The wicked woman would beat her, pull her whiskers, or rub her fur the wrong way, saying with a cruel smile, "Come, come, pussy, you never hiss at Yukiko, so why do you hiss at me?" It reached the stage when Yukiko only dared play with a cat when they were alone. But she went on sharing scraps of food with her. If ever there was a bit of fresh fish left over from the mistress's table, Yukiko always saved it for her friend. The stolen moments she spent with the cat were her only consolation. It helped her to tell some living creature of her sorrows, even if she had to be on guard that nobody noticed her doing so. Then came a day when Yukiko could not find her cat. The girl ran out into the yard a dozen times to search for her, but there was no trace of her darling. "She is sure to be back in the evening," Yukiko told herself, but an instant later she caught herself thinking, "What if some harm has come to Pussy?" That evening, Yukiko went to bed and waited for the cat to jump up and snuggle close to her. She lay wide awake all night, starting up at every rustle she heard in the house. In the morning, she rose pale and heavy-eyed. The black cat did not turn up that day or the next, and Yukiko's heart grew heavier with each passing day. She was unable to get over the loss of the only friend she had ever known. The wicked woman enjoyed her servant girl's misery to the full. It pleased her so much to watch Yukiko's grief that she almost forgave the cat for running away. She never missed an opportunity of taunting poor Yukiko. "Serves you right, my girl, after all you did for that ungrateful creature," she would say. "She pretended to be fond of you, while all the time she was planning to run away. Don't ever expect any gratitude from man or beast." However, Yukiko refused to think badly of the cat. Although she was unable to answer her mistress, she said to herself, "Something must have happened to the poor little thing. If only I knew where she was." And so the days went by, and Yukiko's grief did not grow any less. Sometime later, a travelling fortune-teller came to the village. He was a wise man who did not only see into the future, but also answered many questions about the present. He stopped at every door and eventually came to the wicked woman's house. She asked him a lot of questions and kept him talking for hours because she wanted more than her money's worth. It was getting very late when the fortune teller finally left the house. Yukiko was waiting for him at the gate. She knew that if her mistress found out that she was talking to the stranger, she would be punished, but she just had to ask the wise man about her cat. So she blurted out her questions. The fortune teller thought the matter over and then spoke. "Your cat has gone to Cat Hill in the Inaba Mountains on Koyushu Island," he told Yukiko. "If you long for her as much as you say, go to Koyushu Island and you will find her. But I have to warn you, the journey will be dangerous. You have no idea of what may be in store for you. Think it over, child. Human beings ought to remain among their own kind." As soon as Yukiko learnt that there was a place where she might find her little cat, her mind was made up. She was not afraid of hardship or danger. She pleaded with her mistress until she was given permission to go. "Go if you must," the wicked woman told her. "But remember, you must work 2 days for every day you are away." She imagined all the troubles Yukiko would run into and was glad to think of the risks the girl was taking because of a cat. Yukiko made up a small bundle containing a few dry cakes from the kitchen and set out for Koyushu Island. For many, many days she walked, spending the cold nights curled up in bushes near the road, for she had no money to stay at an inn. Before long, she had worn out her straw sandals, and then the sharp stones made the soles of her feet sore. At long last, she arrived at Koyushu Island, and the sun was setting when Yukiko eventually came to a village on the island. She knocked at the door of a hut and asked the way to the Inaba Mountains. "The Inaba Mountains lie across the river," she was told, "but you must not dream of going there. Only the bravest hunters dare to climb the slopes of the mountains, and even they stay close to the river bank and make sure they leave before nightfall. Beyond the river lies the kingdom of the cats, where human beings never go." Yukiko thanked the people politely for their advice and firmly but graciously declined the villagers' invitation to spend the night in their hut. "No, thank you. I shall be all right," she smiled. "I have come a very long way in order to get to the kingdom of the cats, so I cannot turn back now, when I'm so close." So the village people let her go, shrugging their shoulders. Yukiko left the village and turned towards the river. She found a shallow place and waded across. On the further bank, she was faced by a steep slope. She climbed up the slope and at the top entered a thick forest. The girl took a deep breath and walked on courageously. Everything was quiet. Not a leaf moved on the trees. Yukiko was terribly tired. The climb up the slope had completely exhausted her. She began to wonder if she had better lie down and sleep where she was, when suddenly the trees thinned and she came to a large clearing dotted with many high gabled pavilions. "There must be rich people living here," she thought. "Everything looks so neat and clean." Yukiko walked up to the fence and called out, asking politely whether there was anyone at home. At once, a lovely girl appeared whose body was as slender as a willow tree. She bowed gracefully and asked what she could do for the stranger. "I am the serving girl, Yukiko," explained the girl. "My only friend was a little black cat. She disappeared without trace, and I asked a fortune teller where she might be. He told me to come here, to the Inaba Mountains, so I left home at once. Now I have arrived on Koyushu Island, but I do not know where to look for my little cat. I am tired and weary after my long journey. Will you please let me spend the night under your roof? I can sleep in a corner, and I promise not to bother you at all. In the morning, I will climb up to Cat's Hill and continue my search." The beautiful girl listened carefully to what Yukiko said. Then she bowed again and said with a smile, "So, you have come to be eaten up?" Yukiko was so frightened by these words that she would have turned on her heel and run, had not a little old woman come out of the adjoining pavilion at that moment and sternly sent the lovely girl away. "Forgive me, my dear," said the old woman kindly. "I'm afraid the girl has no manners. I shall have to speak to her again. Oh dear, I'm sure she said something rude to you. You look quite pale. Please tell me what I can do for you." These kind words calmed Yukiko's fears. She again told her story and gradually regained her confidence. The old woman listened politely and replied with a kind smile, "Of course you can sleep here, my dear. Do come in. Don't you worry. You will be quite safe." She began to mumble then, as if speaking to herself, and Yukiko heard her say, "What a long time, a long way to come, only to be eat." But she could not make out the rest. However, the old woman graciously showed Yukiko inside and gave the order for a bath to be prepared for the girl. After the bath, which Yukiko enjoyed very much, the old woman led her to a spotlessly clean and cozy little room where a bed had been made up on soft floor mats. "Have a little rest, my dear," she said encouragingly. "I will go and bring you some food." She again smiled at Yukiko and left the room. Yukiko felt much better after the bath. She sat down and looked about her. "What a strange house this is," she thought. "All those pavilions and rooms and everything so clean and tidy. What a lot of servants these people must keep. Yet I have seen none, and everything is so quiet and still." After a while, Yukiko thought she heard voices in the next room. Her curiosity got the better of her. She tiptoed to the sliding door and quietly pushed it apart. Through the chink, she saw two breathtakingly beautiful girls resting on mats. Their hair was elaborately arranged and decorated with finely carved ivory pins, and they were wearing heavy brocade kimonos in the most elegant style. Yukiko had never seen anyone so exquisitely lovely. The girls were talking in soft, caressing way, which reminded her of a cat purring. She quietly shut the sliding door and opened the one leading to the opposite room. There she saw two equally beautiful girls kneeling in front of a mirror and making up their faces. Yukiko closed the door without making a sound and returned to her bed. Everything was as quiet as before. She suddenly felt very nervous. The unnatural quiet depressed her, and she longed for the sound of a human voice. She again rose and stealthily went back to the first door. Holding her breath, she slid the door open a crack and leaned close to hear what the lovely girls were talking about. After a while, she could make out some words. Then she clearly heard one of the girls saying, "Did you know that the girl who came here today is looking for her friend, the little black cat? She seems so worried about this cat. Perhaps we had better not eat her." Yukiko's knees began to tremble with fright. Teeth chattering, she returned to her bed. She was frantically trying to think of a way to escape when the door opened and a slender girl entered the room. She was clad in a brown brocade kimono embroidered with white chrysanthemums and held together with a wide brocade belt. She moved gracefully on softly padding feet. Yukiko overcame her fear and looked closely at the girl. To her relief, she recognized her friend, the cat, for on the slender human body was the cat's head. "How happy I am to see you again, Yukiko. purred the little black cat. I am grateful for you for all the love and care you lavished on me in the old days, and for coming all this way to see me. You see, she went on, I was getting old and ill, and it was time for me to come here to the Cat Palace. This is where cats come, when they are chased out by people or when they grow old. To us cats, this is paradise. But there is no room here for human beings. Indeed, it would be dangerous for you to stay. Rest a while and then go home, Yukiko. At present there are only a few of my friends in the palace, and I will not let them hurt a hair on your head. However, the other cats will soon return from the hunt, and once they are here, I shall not be able to protect you. I will go now and bring you refreshment, and after that it would be best if you left. The cat gave Yukiko a sweet smile and left the room. Before long, she came back carrying a tray with dishes of boiled rice, vegetables, and fresh fish cooked in a spicy sauce. There was a pot of scented tea. The cat put mats on a small table, placed it before Yukiko, and knelt down to serve her meal. Yukiko felt quite safe now. She had never eaten such choice food in so leisurely a manner. She told her friend everything that had happened in the village after the cat's departure, and about the travelling fortune-teller and his advice. The two friends giggled and laughed, and it was like old times being together again. The food and conversation brought the colour back to Yukiko's cheeks, and she forgot all her worries. After the meal, the cat carried away the tray and returned with a small parcel. This she handed to Yukiko, saying, "Do not open this until you are home again. If any cat should bother you on the way, just raise the parcel, shake it in their faces, and they will leave you alone. Have no fear, Yukiko, and go in peace." "Thank you for everything, dear cat," said Yukiko. "I am glad I came, for now I know that you are well and happy." The cat saw the girl to the garden gate, where they kissed goodbye. She stood watching Yukiko until the girl disappeared among the trees. Yukiko entered the dark forest and had only taken a few steps when the wild cats came running towards her from every side. Their green eyes shone with an evil light in the darkness as, snarling and hissing, they tried to attack the girl. Yukiko raised the parcel high and shook it as hard as she could. The cats retreated angrily, and she went on her way unharmed. On she went, the parcel raised in both hands, until she had climbed down the slope to the river and carefully waded across the water. Once she had reached the other bank, the cats were powerless. So Yukiko tied up the parcel in her bundle and sat down to rest before starting on the return journey. She hurried home as fast as she could, remembering the promise to work 2 days for each day she had been away. The wicked woman was quite surprised to see her serving girl back, safe and sound. "I can hardly believe my eyes," she cried. "Do you mean to tell me that no wild beast ate you up, after all? You must tell me exactly what sort of welcome you received from your grateful cat." Yukiko quietly told her mistress about all her adventures. She described the cat palace, stressing how clean and comfortable it was and how happy the little black cat was living among her own kind. She also told how the cat had given her a parcel as they parted and how she was to unpack it only after her return. Yukiko brought the parcel and opened it in front of her mistress. How great was their surprise when Yukiko took from the parcel a painting of a savage dog with teeth bared, and out of its mouth fell 10 real gold pieces. Yukiko was speechless with happiness. No longer was she a poor dependent orphan at the mercy of her cruel mistress. She immediately bought herself free from service and moved to the town. With the remaining money, she bought a little shop where she sold rice cakes and fried titbits. She lived there in comfort and happiness, and often thought gratefully of her friend, the little black cat. While Yukiko at last enjoyed her life, her former mistress was consumed with envy. "If that stupid servant girl got so much money just through visiting a miserable cat," she thought, "what riches would I receive if I went to see her, for wasn't I her mistress?" These thoughts kept her awake at night, and at last she made up her mind to go to the Inaba Mountains to claim the fortune she felt was owed to her. She hired some litter bearers and had a supply of choice food stored in lacquered cabinets. Then, without telling anyone where she was going, she set out for the Inaba Mountains on Kyushu Island. The journey passed quickly, but not quickly enough for the wicked woman, who kept screaming at the litter bearers to walk faster. At length they arrived in the first village on Kyushu Island. The wicked woman leant out of her litter and asked the village people the way to the Inaba Mountains. "The Inaba Mountains lie over there, beyond the river," they told her, pointing out the direction. "But you must not go there, lady, for even our bravest hunters never venture far from the other bank." The wicked woman dismissed their warnings with a haughty wave of her hand and demanded that the ferryman be called. "I want him to come immediately," she called after the messenger. "I am not going to waste any more time in this wretched place." The ferryman arrived and took the wicked woman and her party across the river. On the further bank, she alighted from her litter and sent the litter bearers and servants back, telling them to wait in the village for her return. To herself, she thought, "There's no need for them to be present when I take over the fortune due to me." The wicked woman quickly climbed the slope in the direction Yukiko had described to her. Having been carried so far in the litter, she had no reason to feel tired, but she was soon out of breath, for she was not in the habit of walking anywhere. She wiped the perspiration from her brow and was relieved when she presently came to the large clearing dotted with high gabled roofs. "So this is the cat palace," she said. "I don't see anything grand about it, but a simple serving girl would find it impressive, I suppose." She put on a bored expression as she walked up to the fence. "I say, is there anyone at home?" she called loudly. "Open up." From the main building appeared a lovely young girl, bowing so low that her back arched like a cat's. "What can I do for you, madam?" she purred. "I have come to pay a call on the black cat that used to serve me, but ran away without any explanation. I am certain she will feel honoured when she learns that her mistress has made this long journey just to visit her. So let me in at once and have her brought before me," said the wicked woman haughtily. The lovely woman grinned like a cat. She was on the point of saying something rude when a little old woman came out of the pavilion next door. She hobbled up to the fence, sending the girl away at the same time. "Do come in, madam," she said kindly. "You must be tired after your long journey." She stood aside to let the visitor enter the pavilion. "Now that's more like it," thought the wicked woman, and she stepped inside. The old woman ordered a bath to be prepared for the guest. Afterwards, she showed the guest into a cosy room where a bed had been made up on soft mats. "I'm hungry," announced the wicked woman. "I am having some refreshment prepared," answered the old woman, bowing low. Very soon a serving girl brought a tray of choice titbits and the visitor ate her fill. After the meal, she immediately lay down to sleep, for the unaccustomed walk up the steep slope had made her tired. In the middle of the night, the wicked woman was awakened by a strange scratching noise. She sat up and looked about her. Through chinks in the wall, she saw a light in the next room. She walked quietly across the room and pushed back the sliding door. To her horror, she saw two enormous tabby cats lying on mats, their eyes shining with an evil green light. The woman quickly shut the door and opened the one on the other side of her room. There, too, she saw two large cats with glittering eyes. The wicked woman's heart beat faster. Now, thoroughly frightened, she recalled that Yukiko had spoken of beautiful girls in the adjoining room, but had made no mention of dangerous big cats. At that moment, another door opened and the little black cat entered the room. "Ah, so you've come at last," said the wicked woman angrily. "It's high time you appeared. I don't like your precious cat palace one bit, I might add. Give me my parcel of gold pieces and let me go." When the little black cat heard these arrogant words, she saw that her former mistress had not changed. She blinked her green eyes and gave a loud hiss, whereupon the big cats from either side sprang into the room, tore the wicked woman to pieces, and gobbled her up there and then.